Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that it can speak to our hearts and that it you want to use it to help us, to teach us the right way to live and the best way to live. And I pray even in verses that we've read before, they would speak to our hearts in a new way and encourage us in things we may already know to put them into practice. And I pray you'd make it real in our lives, Father. Amen. I'm going to share quite a number of verses today on a topic everyone's heard of, but I'm hoping that just maybe in the repetition and some of the themes that come out, it can encourage us. And bit as it's encouraged me this week in reading it. So I'll start with a question. Andrew's done this effectively a lot of times. Hopefully it works for me, but I'll ask you a question. The question is, what is the purpose of our life? So what is the purpose of our life? And I think I'm going to say there's not one answer specifically to that, but I just want you to reflect on what comes to mind if someone were to ask you, tell me what is the purpose of your life? Because some of these verses kind of, I would say, brought out a new purpose or re-emphasized one of the purposes for my life. And you'll get the answer very quickly as I read this very first verse. So let's start in Psalm chapter 6. Psalm chapter 6, verse 1, it says, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed, and my soul is greatly dismayed. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, and rescue my soul. Save me because of your loving kindness. For there is no mention of you in death. In Sheol, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. My eye has wasted away with grief. It has become old because of all my adversaries. Depart from me, all you who do iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back and they will suddenly be ashamed. So I read the whole psalm just to give context, but the answer to my question is in verse 5. It says, for there is no mention of you in death. In Sheol, who will give you thanks? And so in answering that question, you can see that David, through the Holy Spirit, was saying, like, God, I need to be alive to thank you. And this isn't manipulation. This isn't David saying, he's not trying to manipulate God into helping him. Rather, he's saying that if I'm alive, I need to be giving you thanks. And so, God, if you spare me, I will give you thanks. Because in the grave, in Sheol, there's no one to give you thanks. In death, there's no one. But in life, if I'm alive, one of the purposes for my being alive is to give you thanks. And I'm going to read a few more verses that confirm that, because it's a common theme in the Psalms. But for me, I can just say, when I read that earlier this week, I can say it challenged and encouraged me to say, like, do I see it as a purpose of my life, as a reason that I am alive, is to give God thanks? And for me personally, it made it also a little weightier. Like, is this just like just something we do out of ritual or habit, like a little mantra we say throughout the day, I thank you, God, I thank you, God, I thank you, God? Or is it something that we actually say is a burden, is a focus that says, God, if this is the purpose of my life, like, let it be real, let it be done well, let it please you that I can give you thanks and fulfill this aspect of why you created me. Part of the reason we have been created is to give him thanks, to give him praise. And in reading this, thanks and praise are very intermingled. They're very intermingled. And so I would say they're even shared. The reason, one of the reasons we have been created is to praise God and to thank him. And for me, that was a challenge and encouragement. As I was starting my days this week, I was like, Lord, help me to thank you today. Help me to praise you today. Help it to be a reality. Help me to wake up and reflect on all your goodness and all the reasons I have to be thankful. All the reasons I have to praise you. Not even all the reasons. That's very broad. Even a few reasons I have to give you thanks and to praise you. Let that be a start to my day, that I can go forth in whatever comes with having that foundation of giving you thanks and praising you. So let's read a few more verses. Like I said, it's going to be repetitive, but I hope in some of the repetition we can be encouraged. So turn to Psalm 30. Psalm 30, verse 8. It says, to you, O Lord, I called, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me, O Lord, my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And again, we know David's a man after God's own heart, and there's many aspects to why he received that commendation from God. But one of them, very clearly, is David had a heart to praise and thank God. And he knew it was his calling, because he said, what profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? David again was saying to God, I know the purpose of my life, God, is to praise you and to give you thanks. And if it's to end here, God, it feels incomplete. I have more praising to do. I have more thanksgiving to do, God. I'm not done. So please, save me, spare me, give me more time. And I think, we can look at this and you can even kind of reflect on some of these verses about going down to the pit. We know, because we have a greater revelation through what the Holy Spirit has revealed in the New Testament about what eternity is going to look like, and standing before the throne, praising God and casting our crowns at his feet. It's not going to end. But this is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit penned these words. And so I would challenge myself and you to say, in our lives, there is a purpose in praising and thanking God that ultimately won't be fulfilled in heaven. It is for the now. There is a purpose now that is perhaps a little different than what it's going to be in eternity, because in eternity, we've been made perfect, and we'll also see clearly. We'll no longer be seeing through a glass dimly. We will have a perfect vision of our Savior and our Father in heaven, and have plenty of reasons to praise him. But I would say now, there is also an element or a calling to praise and give thanks. That if we get into eternity and we've come up short, I think we may look back and kind of have some regret and say, man, I was so blind, I was so short-sighted, I was so focused on my own needs and my own suffering and my own difficulties, and missed out on all the reasons I had to praise you and give you thanks, God. I wish I'd done it differently. I wish I had let my mind be more trained, be more transformed to see God's goodness. I wish I'd let my mind be more transformed to see his faithfulness every day, all the time. I'm going to read the verses. You already know where I'm going in the New Testament, but I'm going to read the verses. In everything, give thanks. That's a transformed mind that's able to give thanks in everything, all the time, every day. But that's the calling. That is one of the reasons we were made. That is a reason, that is a purpose for our life. That is a purpose for my life, is to praise God and to give Him thanks. Let's go to Psalm 80. Oh no, let's go to Psalm, actually go back to Psalm 9. I like this one. Psalm 9, verse 1, just the first two verses. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. We know the instruction of Jesus when asked what the greatest commandment was, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And I would say you could also insert in there, just as David did here again, to give thanks to the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's not one or the other, they're together. But I would put out there to consider, if we're not giving thanks with all our heart, do we really love Him with all our heart? Do we really see how good He is? Do we really see how much He's done for us? And how blessed we are to have Him as a Savior, to have Him forgive us and help us and look past all of our rebellion and even now the ways we come up short and fail. And the Holy Spirit can help illuminate these things. But I would say this, that just as we're to love Him with all our heart, we are also to give thanks to the Lord our God with all our heart. No part held back saying, I can't give thanks in these areas. I won't give thanks in these areas. I will let the enemy trick me into grumbling and complaining and thinking that God, you're not good. You're not worthy of my giving you thanks at all times in every circumstance. And it's a high calling. I'm not standing here saying I've achieved it, but I do hope that if the Holy Spirit is revealing these things, that it would encourage us to put more of an emphasis on it. I do think it's a very healthy place and a very good place for us to let our minds be renewed and focused, and let it be quickened to us that we want to grow and be strengthened in these areas, to grow in being able to give thanks in all circumstances, to grow in being able to see and meditate on all the reasons we have to give thanks, all the goodness of God. The brother I listen to frequently, and I've heard him say it a number of times, to just start his day, and he encourages everyone who's listening to them to start their day with 5 minutes of giving thanks and just praising God. Like, don't even get out of bed. Just spend some time giving thanks and praising God. I heard this first 2 years ago. And I could say that I tried, and it didn't really work. It was hard. I just was like, man, I'm falling back asleep and different things. And I don't want to make it a law, because we are made differently. Some of us come out of our slumber a little slower than others. But I do have to reflect also if perhaps his heart was a little more in tune with all the reasons he had to give thanks. So it was a little easier, a little more real to start his day that way. So I can give up and kind of justify, oh, it's just because I'm more tired, or he has an easier time waking up in the morning than me, or whatever. Or you can say, you know what? Well, maybe I'll change my routine slightly and I will get out of bed first if being tired is a challenge. But I also reflect on the fact, if my heart is truly giving thanks with all my heart, am I missing something? Is there something he's learned in his walk with the Lord that fills him with thanksgiving? And perhaps it's even been trained in. Perhaps after time and effort spent learning and asking the Holy Spirit to teach and renew and help us to see all we have to give thanks for, it becomes much more natural and a much easier and wonderful way to start the day because the mind has been renewed. The heart has come to see all the reasons or more, a broader view of what we have to give thanks for. And perhaps that's where that encouragement or exhortation is coming from, is having had that experience and grown in it. And so then I challenge myself to say, you know what, it's not a law. I'm not going to say that it has to be the exact same sequencing. But yeah, I do think there's a very healthy encouragement to say, start our days this way. Start our days with meditating on what we have to give thanks for. And if it feels like there's nothing, if it feels like it is not there, if our hearts aren't able and willing to do it, then say, God, help me. Help me to see your goodness. Help me to see through your word, through looking at all you've given me, reflecting on my life and all you've done for me, what I have to give thanks for. Let my lips not be dumb. Let my heart not be a hardened, callous stone that doesn't want to give you thanks and praise. Help me, Lord. Just a few more on the sort of first topic here. So Psalm 88. Again, I know it's repetitive, but hopefully it helps in some ways. So 88, verse 10. Is this David again? I didn't even look. No. Now we've got Heman the Ezrahite by the Holy Spirit saying some very similar things to what David said. So we'll just start in verse 10. It says, will you perform wonders for the dead? Will the departed spirits rise and praise you? Will your loving kindness be declared in the grave? Your faithfulness in Abaddon. Will your wonders be made known in the darkness and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, have cried out to you, and in the morning prayer, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. So again, this time it's Heman or Heman, however you say that. Same principle though, that if we're alive, if we're alive and not in the grave, then we need to declare his loving kindness. We need to declare his faithfulness. We need to declare his wonders. And we need to declare his righteousness. If we're alive and we're his children, that's our obligation. And I use that word, perhaps it's not the right word. But it is, it's a purpose, it's a reason for living. And it needs to be something that, I just want it to be more real in my life. I want it to be a burden I have and just an obligation I sense, not an obligation that is a yoke, but an obligation that says, this is part of what you've done for me, God. This is why you chose me. He chose each and every one of us, all of his children. He has chosen. He's chosen his children. And he chose us for this purpose. And he chose us for a broader purpose than that. It's not just this. I know there's other verses we can go to. But today, my heart is on this emphasis that we would say, this is why I was chosen. To give thanks, to declare his goodness, to declare his loving kindness. And when it says that, I think first and foremost, it's actually us declaring it back to him, to acknowledge it, to confess it, to say, God, I see it, that you are awesome. You are an awesome God, and everything you've done for me is good. You are good, and you do good. As it says in Psalm 119, you are good, and you do good. And just, that's it, full stop. No buts or no ifs, no ands. Just you are good and you do good. And my day will be built on that foundation. My life will be built on that foundation that God, you are good and you do good. And therefore, I have abundant reason to give you thanks, to give you praise, to declare your righteousness, to declare your goodness to my children and to those around me and to those you bring into my path. times in life you get to bump into people who I feel like have some of this living water just coming out of them, and you sense it, right? You're just like, man, that brother's or sister's just encouraged. Like, they're just full of a heart that sees God's goodness, and it transforms everything. It's like that stick that God showed Moses when the Israelites were grumbling and complaining, and it made the bitter water sweet. I think some of that miracle can come if our hearts are trained and renewed and our minds are renewed to be able to see and give thanks, to see God's goodness, to believe in his goodness, to have that as a foundation. And it'll make the bitter situations sweet. It'll make the difficult situations ones where we're able to give him thanks, and not out of obligation. And I don't think it's wrong. Even I don't want to have anybody here say, oh, my heart doesn't feel it, because I feel if you read these psalms, many of these psalms I'm reading, some of them are just straight up thanking God for his victory, but many of them, like, part of the reason I read the first psalm was just to read the burden. Like, that was a psalm of David in a tough place. His enemies were surrounding him. He was feeling defeated. He thought he might die. Thought his enemies were going to potentially be given opportunity to kill him. But in all, and even in this one I just read, it goes on to just ask God for help. So these are not people who are saying these things by the Holy Spirit because the victory has come. They're actually crying out in the midst of the battle saying, God, help me. Help me. I know I need to declare your goodness. I know I need to declare your praise. But I also need help. I need your deliverance. I need your salvation. And so I think that in the midst of difficulty, even if our heart doesn't feel it, we can ask God to train us, to help us, to grow these muscles, to be able to have this transformed attitude, transformed heart and mind that are able to give thanks in the midst of it. But I think some of it may come also through training and having the Holy Spirit help us, even when we don't feel like it, even when it is difficult, even when we're still awaiting a deliverance, awaiting a solution, awaiting for a trial to be released. All of us have trials. Some are in greater trials right now, some are in lesser, but each one of us have trials every day. Little things that come to test us, or things that are there all the time. Every day you wake up and know, I've got this thing in front of me, and it's hard, Lord. It's tough. I'm not going to say I like it. But in the midst of it, God can train us and help us to be able to give him thanks and to give him praise with our whole heart. But I do think it's something, like many things in life, or many things in our Christian walk, that we grow in. That it's something that can start as a trickle and become a river. Maybe let's turn to the New Testament and read some verses that will potentially be more familiar, but I can say for me personally, after reading some of these truths from the Psalms, some of the instruction in the New Testament became a little more fresh. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit and do not despise prophetic utterances. I don't think I have too much to add to that. But I think some of the emphasis we've heard might help us to, for me personally, to help me, like, I guess if I could say my burden for myself and for all of us is that these things, like, I think if I went around the room, I think every adult in the room could tell me in some form or format this verse. We know it says rejoice always. We know it says rejoice always. We know it says in everything give thanks. But how does that become more real in our lives and not just something we know is there? Like, how is it something that actually starts our day and goes through our day, where we're rejoicing always, where in everything we're giving thanks? And we're giving thanks because our eyes and hearts have been opened to understand how much we have to be thankful for, not because it's a mantra that we somehow are obliged to try and keep, but rather our minds have been transformed and renewed so that we see God's goodness. We see that God is good and does good every day, all day. That is our anchor and foundation in rejoicing always and giving thanks, because we know we serve a good God and we love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. We love Him and give Him thanks because we know He loves us. And the appropriate response to what He's done for us is to praise Him and give Him thanks. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I'll read two verses here. One is verse 4. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And I wanted to read this one because I think a lot of what I've emphasized, and I do believe it is the appropriate emphasis, is between us and God. It's like worship and adoration and thanks towards our Savior. But in this context, I actually think Paul is emphasizing here through the Holy Spirit that it's also in the body. Like, it's just the contrast, right? We do have to be on guard maybe about having filthy talk or coarse language to ourselves, but definitely that would be more commonly amongst people, right? Like, you're having filthy talk, coarse jesting, silly talk. That's between people, whether it's in the body or outside the body. And Paul is saying, rather than having, like, these things should not be in your life. Like, these things should be out of your life, but rather what should be coming out of your lips is giving of thanks. So when we're talking to one another, when we're talking to those around us, it should be in our heart and coming out that we have a lot to be thankful for. Like, our hearts should be thankful. And again, it's not something that it's a yoke or something you just like do through ritual and just say, hey brother, thanks be to God. Hi brother, thanks be to God. Maybe that would be good if we greet each other that way, I don't know. But ultimately it's because our hearts see how good God is and it comes out in how we communicate with one another. That's how I see it, and that's why I read this one, is just because the other aspects of what we're not to do is between people. Therefore, I would say that Paul's instruction about what we should do is also between one another or those around us. This giving of thanks, in this case, I would say is more public. It's more shared. And again, if we go to Psalm, or same chapter, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And so in this case, in verse 19, he's talking about all this singing and melody in our hearts with our and songs and hymns and spiritual songs, always giving thanks. So it's not, in my view, either or. It's like we're singing or giving thanks. It's actually, I think he's saying, like, in these songs that we're making, in these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, like, there should always be thanksgiving in there. There should always be thanksgiving in there. There can be other themes and other things that come out, but there's always thanksgiving in there. We have so much to be thankful for. How could you have a song where you're not expressing some thanks to God? And I'm not suggesting we go through and try and... It's an attitude of the heart, right? It's not like you have to see the words in there. It's an attitude of the heart that says, God, I know I have so much to be thankful for. And when the Holy Spirit is giving us spiritual songs, when through the Holy Spirit we're making melody in our heart, there is going to be thanksgiving there. And it's going to be in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. to God. And I can't even fully explain that. That was something I was looking at this morning because it says it a few times. But it's to Jesus, it's through Jesus Christ, or in the, it's, sometimes it says through Christ to God. Others, here it says in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, to the Father. And the little grasp I have of that is just in that we're acknowledging that my thanks and my praise to you is only because of what Jesus Christ has done. That without his redemption, without his blood, these attitudes, these words would be kind of meaningless. It would almost be, in some senses, like kind of in the grave a little bit, because we hadn't even come into the kingdom of light yet. But because we've been redeemed, because Jesus Christ has saved us, because his blood has made us righteous and washed away our sins, all of a sudden these praises that come to our Father, they're coming from pure lips, they're coming from pure hearts, they're coming from those who have been redeemed and no longer stained by sin. And because of that, through Jesus Christ, we can give praise to God our Father. That's why. That's at least part of it as to why it's through Christ, because his blood has washed us, made us clean, and now the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. I think it's important to remember that too, because it's not because of how good we've become. It's not because of how righteous we've now made ourselves, but rather it's through what Jesus Christ has done in washing us and cleaning us and his blood in saving us and redeeming us. We now have lips that can give him thanks, and that our Father can hear and be pleased in and say, yes, you're fulfilling that purpose for which I made you. That aspect of the purpose for which I made you is being fulfilled because of what Jesus has done for you and what you're now living out, and letting your hearts be thankful and letting your lips express that gratitude to me for my goodness and for all I've done. Just a few more here. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. It's really a very similar theme to what I just read in Ephesians, but I think it's good to see the repetition, right? Like, it was just a burden in Paul's heart that when he wrote to these churches, he was often emphasizing some of the same things. So Ephesians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." It's good. It kind of confirms where the root, where the spring of this thankfulness is to come from. It's to come from our hearts. It's not to come from our minds because we know what these verses say, but it's to come from our hearts because we've been enlightened to see in some measure what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And then verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." So I already gave some of how I see that and just what I just shared, but it's just re-emphasizing it again. And it's actually interesting that it says here, we should do everything. Everything we do should be done in the name of Jesus because of what he has done for us. He has redeemed us. We are now his. So everything we do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. And through that, we can give thanks through him to God the Father. And you can meditate on that more. I'm sure there's more to unlock there and seeing how that relationship and how God has set it up and his perfect wisdom that everything is through Christ, to Christ, and everything that comes to our Father, the praise, the thanksgiving, and all the glory is through Christ to our Heavenly Father. And I think it's important. God wants to help us understand that more. But there's just a few verses here that I've read that make that emphasis. That's the way that God has ordained it and arranged it for his glory. And that's what pleases him. Thanksgiving in the name of Jesus, through Jesus, to him, is what he's seeking. That's what he wants from our lives. Just one more verse here in the New Testament. Let's turn to Hebrews. start in it's Hebrews chapter 13. We'll start in verse 12. Hebrews 13, 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with these sacrifices God is well pleased. Or God is pleased. I liked this passage because of a few things. If you read in verse 15, it says, I said at the start that praise and thanks are kind of commingled, and I know they're slightly different in nature, but they're also a lot of similarities and sameness to them. And this verse actually kind of almost calls them the same, because it says that our lips should continually offer up. Oh, it actually just doesn't say our lips. It says, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. So praising him and thanking him are very, very similar. I would say that God desires praise and desires us to praise him for his attributes and his goodness and all he's done and all the different reasons that the Holy Spirit can reveal to us that we have to give praise to him. It's through a foundation of thanksgiving. Because if it's absent the thanksgiving, it's just words. It's just knowledge. But if it's mixed with thanksgiving, then it's pleasing to him. Then it's a sacrifice that he is pleased with, because we're praising him, seeing his goodness, and thanking him that he's allowed us to partake of it, that he's allowed us even to see it. I just think there's a reason this verse mixes the two together, that it's what God desires. It's a sacrifice that pleases him. And I think that is the same. Like, if you look out today, like if we see a sacrifice of praise through dead hearts that just know the right words to say, know the right things to sing, or maybe the right scriptures to quote, but there's no actual thanksgiving behind it, I don't think that's a sacrifice that pleases God. That's just routine and like dead works. But the thanksgiving is I think what gives it life and makes it real and makes it pleasing to God, that the things he's shown us to give him praise for are actually something that we actually have realized that we don't deserve. We don't even deserve to see them or understand them or know them or have experienced them. And because of that, we're thankful. And we mix that with our praise to him. I read the first few verses because I think they're relevant, because I think in my Bible there's a little break, but I don't think, I think there's a continuous thought here in that because in verse 15 at the start it says, through him. So again, it's through Jesus Christ. There's an emphasis here that is our praise is to come through Jesus Christ. And that's because of what he's done for us. That's the channel through which praise ascends to God and pleases him is when it's through Jesus Christ and a knowledge of what he's done for us and have been redeemed by him and made clean. But in that also it says, like in verse 12, that Jesus went outside the gate. And so then also we're to go outside the camp, bearing his reproach, taking up our cross, walking in the manner which Jesus walked, looking for a city, looking for the true, a lasting city, not the temporary things of this world, which is ultimately all going to perish, not the temporary satisfactions and joys and attractions of this world, but rather looking to the city which is to come, the New Jerusalem. Have that attitude, have that in our lives, that we're willing and desiring to go with our Savior outside the camp to bear his reproach, to be part of the few who are willing to have a Christianity, a faith that causes reproach. That causes reproach. That doesn't just fit in everywhere. That isn't just accepted everywhere. That actually is reproached. To have that same attitude as Christ had and to walk with him there, seeking the city which is to come, not seeking to find ourselves satisfied with what this world has to offer, but rather being on guard against it, saying, don't let my heart get entangled with what this world has to offer, but rather let my focus be on the city which is to come. Then let's give thanks and praise. Those are the ones that our Father is looking for. That is, I think, part of where this sacrifice of praise comes from. And our attitudes and our lives are reflecting the first few verses. The thanks and praise that come out are pleasing to our Father. It's a sacrifice with which he is pleased. I think maybe I'll end there. I had a few more verses just about emphasizing. I'll read maybe one last. Psalm 27, verse 13. Part of my burden and part of, I guess, what I was sort of trying to help my own heart and mind become more alive to and more trained in is just seeing God's goodness and being able to meditate on it and have it be more real to me such that I can have a heart that is thankful, because it's seeing and realizing how much I have to be thankful for and how good God is and how worthy he is of my praise for all he's done. And I was just looking at Psalm 27, verse 13. It says, I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And this verse doesn't maybe fit perfectly, but it is, my burden here was just a heart that believes in the goodness of God. And I know that's not an exact quote of the verse, but that is the emphasis. He's believing in this psalm, David is believing that God was going to deliver him and give him good. But I would take that a little broader. I would extend that a little further and say, it's just a belief in the goodness of God, that God is good. That God is good. And because we believe God is good, we can wait for him. When external circumstances don't feel good, when they feel difficult, when they want to make us anxious or discouraged or despairing or all these things, we need to have a heart that still is anchored in the faith and belief that God is good. God is good and does good. That needs to be our anchor. And if that's our anchor, we can wait and be strengthened and encouraged in the Lord. And I think that's part of it. Like part of, I think, developing this muscle, as I'll call it, of thanksgiving, of praise to God, is because we have grown in the ability and grown in the grace. And through Jesus Christ, we're able to see God's goodness in circumstances that previously we wouldn't have been able to see it. In circumstances that once made us grumble and complain, we're actually able to see his goodness in it and wait on him and take courage. And he comes and delivers us, maybe not out of the circumstances, but delivers us in our soul to help us be able to give him thanks and see his goodness and let these things that come sanctify us and change us. And I think that is part of the truth and part of the way that we can unlock this heart of thanksgiving is to have just such a confidence in God's goodness, such a faith that cannot be shaken, that God is good. God is good and does good. Yeah. Maybe end there. I just think if you just read through, I think Jace quoted it or something. I think he quoted it, he was praying just even in, like, it was the other verse I was thinking of was in, like, they dedicated the temple. And it's like, you are good, and your love or your mercy endures forever. Like, God is good. When the Holy Spirit came, it declared, God is good. And I just hope and pray that can be more of a reality for all of us. May we'll just pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I just pray that you would help these things to be real in our lives, that we would always be giving you thanks, always be giving you praise in all circumstances, at all times, whether in our words and our meditations of our heart or just in the attitude by which we approach things, to have an attitude of thanksgiving and praise. I just pray that you'd help all of us to grow in this. Help me to grow in this, Father, that our lives can bear witness of this testimony and have that sweet aroma that comes through hearts that are just so thankful to you. Amen.